I want to thank Bishop Fitzgerald, who oversees Catholic education for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, for being here today as we celebrate this Mass of the closing of the school year. And what a school year it has been in the last, at least the latter part, the second half of this year. Not something that was anticipated or expected when the school year started in September. But I have to say, and I hear it from parents who are friends of mine about their kids who attend our high schools and our schools, how incredible our administrators, our teachers, and our students, and they, the parents, have been in stepping up to the mound in this most unusual of years. And so we want to thank all of our Catholic school communities for just incredible work and passion for education and for just quickly, adapting and adjusting and moving right along and making sure that our students learned and our teachers got up to date with all that Zooming stuff. I had never Zoomed before this thing, and now I do like six of them a day. So thank you so much for all you have done and our students who also had to adapt. They are represented here today by students who are serving and reading at Mass. Hoy la Iglesia celebra esta solemnidad de la Santísima Trinidad, una solemnidad que nos permite ver cómo es la vida interior de Dios, cómo luce el corazón interno de Dios. Y lo que vemos cuando entramos a ese corazón es que vemos que Dios es comunidad, que Dios es familia. Y qué necesidad tenemos nosotros hoy en día, ¿no? De comunidad, de familia, de celebrar de nuevo la Eucaristía públicamente. En estos momentos de tanta tensión social, de tantos problemas que han habido en la última semana y estos dos meses que han pasado de incertidumbre. Así que le damos gracias a Dios por esta oportunidad de reunirnos a celebrar esta solemnidad de la Santísima Trinidad. This celebration of the Most Holy Trinity gives us a glimpse as to what is God like on the inside. What does God look like inside? It's almost like a little keyhole that we could look through and see what's inside God's heart. What makes him tick? And when we get this little glimpse of the interior life of God, what we find is that God is family. He's community. He's Father, Son, and Spirit, so intertwined that you cannot understand or relate to one person of the Trinity without the others. No separation. Not really easy to understand, per se. It's a mystery. It's not meant to be understood. It really is not meant to be understood. It is meant to be contemplated. And ultimately, imitated as well. In so many ways, the church is founded on this very mystery. It is the very first prayer that you and I learned when we learned to make the sign of the cross in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We bless that way. We begin the celebration of Mass in the name of the Trinity. We finish in the name of the Trinity. We gather in the name of this true and God. It's rooted actually in the fact that living our Catholic faith means that we live it in community. That the God didn't teach you and I the My Father, that he taught us the Our Father, to pray communally, to pray it together. And that's why today is such a great joy all over the Church of Philadelphia as thousands of people gather once again to celebrate the Eucharist publicly. And thousands of people gathered through streaming as well. And so we welcome them as well as we gather here today. So today is a great day of joy for us as we're able to gather again what maybe we took for granted at one time. And all of a sudden we didn't have. And now we have again. And so my hope and my prayer is that all of us will come back to the altar with a deeper appreciation, a spirit of gratitude for this incredible gift that we have to gather around the altar of the Word and of the Eucharist and together today. The last couple of months have certainly been one of great turmoil and uncertainty. Life as we understood it changed completely. We weren't going to work anymore. We now have to wear masks everywhere we go. Life changed. Life the way we understood it changed. Our routines on Sunday morning of getting up and going to church and then to breakfast changed because we couldn't have public mass and the breakfast places were closed. So everything was kind of turned on its head. It was a tough time. Time of uncertainty. And we recognize that actually it is the strength of our faith that gives us hope in these times of uncertainty. The last week has been heart-wrenching. Heart-wrenching. An unwarranted, unjustified death that should have never happened. Once again, showing its ugly face, the hurt and the pain of the sin and the evil of racism. Should have never happened. The pain of destructive behavior of a few. Heart-wrenching. Should have never happened. Distracted, actually, from what the issue actually was and the pain really was. But that's now behind us. What's in front of us is now hope. Hope that we will become a more just society. Hope that we will now once again work harder to eradicate racism from our midst. Hope that we could heal and that we could respect each other as sons and daughters of God and that there is a dignity to each one of us and the sacredness of our lives that is given to us by God. And that society and the state and each other, we need to protect and we need to keep sacred. You know, there was a lot of tough images this past weekend and this past week. They were tough images. But they were also great signs of hope. Actually, wonderful signs of hope. There was a great sign of hope in the midst of despair. You know, the Christian is not the individual that does not despair. The reality is that at different moments in our lives, we do despair because life gets tough. So the Christian is not a person who never despairs. Actually, the Christian is an individual who in the midst of despair finds hope. Finds hope. Because we believe that in death there's life. And that the power of light overcomes darkness. And the power of love overcomes hate. That's what we believe. That's what we embrace. And so in the midst of our despair during the last week, there was and there is signs of great hope. It was a great sign of hope when young people by the thousands, as we saw yesterday, by the thousands here in the city and around the country and literally around the world took to the streets peacefully to raise their voices and say to the world, we are better than this. We are better than this. And they shouted and they walked, and what did they remind us of? That we are better than this. When last Sunday we all woke up to the results of the consequences of destructive behavior all over the city and around our neighborhood, what did we wake up to? If we were on one side seeing the destructive behavior, then we saw people show up in these neighborhoods, and not far from here, two blocks down. They showed up with their brooms and their bags and their boxes to clean up the disorder that had been created. It happened spontaneously. What did they proclaim to us as they used their broom to clean those streets? That we are better than this. That was a great sign of hope. A great sign of hope. It is a great sign of hope that we all now know that, guess what? We need to work a little harder. Because even though lots has been done, we still have a ways to go. And right underneath the surface, there's a lot of hurt. And we need to work that out. We need to work that out. I'd like to finish reading to you a little section of a pastoral letter that was written by the U.S. bishops and published last year. It's called Open Wide Our Hearts, The Enduring Call to Love, a pastoral letter against racism. And there's a section, it's called, entitled, Walking Humbly with God. And this is what this letter of the bishop says. To press forward without fear, to walk humbly with God in rebuilding our relationships, healing our communities, and working to shape our policies and institutions toward the good of all as disciples, missionary disciples. Evangelization, which is the work of the church, means not only preaching, but witnessing. Not only conversion, but renewal. Not only entry into the community, but the building up of the community. Racism is a moral problem that requires a moral remedy. A transformation of the human heart that impels us then to act. The power of this type of transformation will be a strong catalyst in eliminating those injustices that impinge on human dignity. As Christians, we know this to be true. For with God, all things are possible. It is the Lord who by His grace forgives and restores us to these relationships and heals the wounds between us. Decades now ago, Dr. King gave an incredible speech called The Dream, his dream. We have a dream. And dreams are important, right? Because they fuel the passion of the human heart. When you have no dreams, then you have no passion. And he had a dream. That dream has not been fulfilled yet. And he gave that dream to the world. A dream that was put in his heart by the very love of God. We can't forget that dream. I have a dream that my four children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. May it be so. God bless you.